Hello everyone, I'm Chris, the creator of the 3Watch Collection channel, and today I have Matt with me to talk about his 3Watch Collection. Welcome.
Thank you, thanks for having me.
So how did you start in this hobby? Tell us about it.
Well, always wore a lot of watches when I was in primary school and high school. Loved watches, had a few Swatch watches when I was a kid. Getting into high school, had a few Seikos. I remember I had this beloved Seiko Diver in sort of the latter years of high school. I wanted a Tag Heuer, couldn't quite afford any nonsense like that at the time. Yeah, I just sort of got into watches, probably a little bit through my brother. Remember my brother had a really nice Amiga Seamaster back when he was in his early adulthood. He's a bit older than me. And when I was in my early 20s, I got my first sort of that gateway drug Tag Heuer watch, which I don't have anymore. I've sort of given that to my brother-in-law and he wears that pretty much every day, which I think is great. I did a working holiday in sort of 2007 in Scotland, and I did a lot of travel to Europe, went to Switzerland, had a friend who lives in Switzerland, did a lot of watch window shopping, got into it a lot more. Towards the end of that trip, I was in Switzerland and I was looking at an Omega Speedmaster or a Seamaster chronograph. At the time, I loved chronographs. I've always liked the aesthetics of a chronograph. I didn't buy it when I was over there, but just after I got back to Perth, I got into Watches of Switzerland and I picked up my first mechanical watch, which was a Seamaster Diver chronograph. And I still got that. Absolutely love it. And I think just mechanical watches from there just really took off. You know, it's become a bit of an obsession. I've done a number of trips to Switzerland. I've visited the Patek Philippe Museum, the Amiga Museum, some of the other watch museums, and just absolutely love it.
So let's see where you are at now. And what is the first watch in your 3Watch collection?
So the first watch I've got for us here today is an Amiga Genève Day-Date from the mid-70s. This watch was actually my father-in-law's. I was over his house one day. He comes out with a plastic bag full of old watch paraphernalia, boxes and bracelets and watches and bits and pieces. And I've opened it up and had a look, and inside is an old Seiko box. And I said to him, I said, oh, Doug, don't tell me you had this classic Seiko you've been, you know, hiding from me all these years. Because he doesn't wear a watch at all, and he gives me a bit of a hard time for liking watches because he thinks they're not necessary. And I opened up the box and inside was this Amiga. And I couldn't believe it. I thought, wow, this is amazing. Flip it over. It was a present for his 21st birthday from his parents, 1974. It was in an absolute state when I got it off him. It looked like it had had a very, very hard life. Still got the original strap. It actually had a bit of a dingy old Seiko bracelet on it at the time. He'd obviously taken the strap off at some point. So I had it serviced. The crystal was in dire need of a polish, and it's very much an occasional piece. We don't wear it all that often, but my wife and I wear this and we love it. And I love the idea of having a watch that you have for a long time that you can pass on to somebody else. And that's one of the things I think is really special about this piece, that it was a milestone gift for him. And I'm lucky enough to look after it now, and hopefully I'll be able to pass it on as well to one of my children.
That is amazing. So it's not only coming down to you from someone in the family, you also share it.
Yeah, it's great. And my wife loves wearing it as well, because it's obviously just got that connection with her dad. And of course, you know, I've dragged her into the watch obsession a little bit as well, so she's got a real appreciation for it.
Do you otherwise go for vintage watches, or is this just a special example?
I have a couple of old watches. Yeah, just a bit of fun factor. I have a vintage Edox. I have a vintage Seiko as well. And they're very much occasional pieces. I don't go chasing. I wouldn't probably spend big money on a vintage watch, but I do find them to be quite good fun for a bit of an occasional piece. And I think for a dress watch, you know, it's good. I really like it.
So where to from there?
So next, I brought along this Tag Heuer SEL. Which I haven't had for very long, actually. I was very patient. I looked around for quite a long time. This is a real guilty pleasure. It takes me back to the Tag that I would have really liked, but just couldn't afford. I never got this one. I got one a bit later. I just think it's a bit of a guilty pleasure. I think it's a real classic Tag design. Obviously, this sports elegance is what the SEL stood for. It has sort of evolved into the Link collection nowadays. It's a bit of a polarizing design. The bracelet and the case are obviously very much in sync. Mid-90s, it's got a lovely patina that's developed on the dial. It's a quartz chronograph, 1/10 of a second. 200 meters water resistant. And I don't wear it all that often, but I love being able to just pick it up and wear it when I want to because the time's already set. I love the way it wears. It's a very comfortable bracelet. It just molds well to your wrist. Sort of that matte sandblasted finish to the case. It hides the scratch as well. And I think this one's in particularly good condition. I love the way it wears. I love the size of it. It's nice and small. It's very comfortable. So yeah, just a real bit of a fun factor for me. And I think that's something that in more recently, you know, I can't buy expensive watches with monotonous regularity. And some of these sort of pieces that I've added over the years, just a bit of fun, just very much an occasional piece, which I like.
And how does it measure up to your expectations from back in high school?
Love it. Puts a smile on my face every time I wear it. I did look around a lot at getting a mechanical SEL. I couldn't really find any that I thought were in really good condition from what I can see online compared to this one. And I just sort of thought as well, cheaper with the servicing costs and things like that. So, you know, it's 200 meters water resistant. You can get it wet, which I love about watches. I'm always looking for a watch that can get wet that I don't have to take off if I'm doing something. I really like a robust, versatile piece that you can just wear and do whatever. That's one of the things I like about this watch.
Okay, so cheap and cheerful.
Cheap and cheerful, yeah.
Well, I can see something there which is less like that.
Less cheap and cheerful, yeah. So I picked this up a couple of years ago. A really nice chap must have put it on the market, and I was able to pick it up pre-loved. I'd had my eye on a Smurf for a while. So this is the 116619LB Submariner. So this is from 2014. It was released in 2008. I think that was the 100th year anniversary of the Rolex name. It was the first Rolex to come out with the glide lock clasp, which is very, very handy. This is a very striking piece. I love the blue dial. I love the bezel. It's very comfortable. It's got a good bit of heft to it. It keeps impeccable time, and it's just a beautiful watch. And I sort of downsized from two higher price watches to get this one. I sort of found that I didn't like the idea of having multiple watches that I felt didn't get worn all that much. And something I've leaned to in recent years is sort of downsizing the collection a little bit from expensive pieces and getting, you know, that one nice watch that I can wear whenever I want and doing anything. And that's how I treat this one now. I do wear it a lot. I probably wouldn't wear it if I was servicing the car or, you know, digging around in an engine bay or something like that. But yeah, I absolutely love this piece. It's great. I got it just before my 40th birthday. Something that I've tried to do with all of my big watch purchases is I can see me having that watch for a really long period of time and hopefully being able to pass it on one day. And that's definitely how I see this watch. I'll confess I haven't kept all, you can't keep them all. So I have traded in a couple of watches over the years, but I don't really see myself replacing this, but you know, you never know.
I know the feeling.
Yeah.
I didn't think I would sell it. But there it is.
There it is. So thanks very much for trading that in, Chris. We only found that out today, but yeah, fantastic.
Went from steel to white gold. High-end steel head to white gold.
Yeah.
Do you find it different wearing experience putting on a Smurf as opposed to a Royal Oak? Yeah.
So it's a lot less blingy than the Royal Oak, definitely. The Royal Oak obviously catch a lot of light. And they're an absolutely beautiful watch, and I do miss it. Is it different? Yeah, I think it is a little bit. It's just a bit of a warmer feeling, appearance to it, this particular white gold. And it is certainly quite heavy, but it's really nice. I like wearing it. I just put it on. I'll wear it for weeks and weeks at a time and not wear anything else. And that's what I love about it. I like the idea of just having that one really nice watch that I can go to no matter what I'm doing. This has become for me, so.
Yeah. It's still a Submariner, so you can still wear it.
Yeah.
To do whatever.
Exactly.
You just don't want to put things in it.
No, that's right. I'll try not to bash it into things. Try not to be too careless with it anyway.
I remember that I thought that the new white gold sub with the black dial was a missed opportunity from Rolex. I think the blue dial just elevates it so much more. The new one is just a black dial with a blue bezel.
I feel the same way, and obviously I'm biased because this is the one that I've got. It's a lot more striking. I mean, I suppose Rolex, they want to change what they do. They don't want to just re-release the same thing. But I do think the blue dial is a lot nicer. Give me one or the other, I would get that one every day of the week.
Plus this flat blue, quite different from the yellow gold and two-tone.
Yeah. And I'm not a huge two-tone fan. I think one of the things I love about the steel Submariner is the brushed center links. The polished center links bling it a little bit, but certainly I absolutely love that watch. So there's not a lot that I would really fault. That's probably one thing. If I was going to redesign it myself, I might give it brushed center links, but that would be about all. It'd be about the only improvement I think I could make.
I found that even though it's a hefty watch, the weight distribution is excellent around the wrist because the bracelet is just as heavy.
Yes.
And it counterbalances the heavy head.
Yes. And the clasp obviously is quite heavy as well. And the micro adjust, you can get it at a perfect fit however you want to wear it. You know, if it heats up a bit, if it's a bit of a cooler day, what have you. It's very, very easy to adjust. And that's something that I didn't think that I would use as much as I do, but I do find it to be a very useful feature.
It's hard to argue with Rolex making the best bracelets around.
Yeah.
They're simple, not as blinky as a Royal Oak bracelet, but they're comfortable.
Very, very comfortable. And they've improved a lot. I had a 14060 Submariner, which sort of had the old hollow end links with the stamped clasp, and the difference in quality, yeah, when they sort of stepped up to that new Oyster bracelet, significant. So yeah, they're a nice bracelet for sure.
Hard to go back to the stem clasp after this one. This doesn't feel as luxurious.
Not at all. And people talk about that it's a bit jangly. It really was just a bit of a jangly bracelet. They say that in the mid-90s when Amiga brought out the Seamaster Diver, that bracelet, design aside, was a much, much better quality bracelet. And you can see that. And it was quite a number of years until Rolex upgraded that bracelet, I think so.
Yeah, basically Omega forced Rolex to step up their game.
They did, yeah, they did. I've got the Seamaster Diver chronograph. That just has the diver's extension. So it is a bit trickier to get it as a perfect fit, whereas it's just not something you have a problem with this one. So it's a very comfortable watch to wear.
You got your three, possibly a few more.
Yep.
Where you go from there? What's next?
I feel like I'd almost have to have a bit of a one-in, one-out policy these days if I was going to get another significantly priced watch, I suppose. I love the 39.5-meter Planet Ocean. I really like that watch. Don't know if I'll be buying anything in the short to medium term. I love versatile sort of dressing tool watch type pieces. I think I've really embraced just that lower priced fun factor watch in recent years. As I said, I've picked up a few bits and pieces here and there that I just wear occasionally. Then I'm happy for if they sit there most of the time in a box and don't really get worn. Love sporty watches. So I think if I was going to look at getting something else, it would be definitely a sporty watch. It's got to have a bit of water resistance. I need to be able to get it wet and just not worry about it. Not worry about having to take it off to do things. I don't have anything that sort of screams out to me. There's a few brands that I really like and respect. I'd love one day to get Lissinardi.
A diver.
I like dress watches sometimes. However, they're not as versatile. There was the Classico that I really liked. Came out with a brown strap, white dial, date at 6 o'clock. Most of my watches need to have a date, by the way. This can be controversial, but I love having a date. And I'd like a JLC one day as well.
Like a dressy JLC? Or
yeah, it would be a dressy JLC. So I love a Master Control. Yes, not as versatile. It would be limited, obviously, as a dress piece, but that's something that I would really like one day as well. I have a lot of respect for them as a brand.
So it's fair to say you hit the top of where you're comfortable, as high as you're comfortable going.
Yeah, I definitely think so. I couldn't see myself getting a watch that cost any more than that. Maybe one day if John Mayer gets on Hodinkee and says that the Smurf is just a must-have Rolex piece and it goes up a bit more in value, I'll sell it and get something else.
Is there a Grail watch, though, you would get above everything else, money, no object?
I do think I would like to go back to a Royal Oak at some point, a smaller model than the one that I had, which I just felt was a bit too big for me. So if I could pick up a 39mm Royal Oak, I've always liked the dual time. A 39mm dual time, I think, would be something that I'd love to pick up. It's not necessarily more expensive than anything that I've got, but it's probably right up there.
One more thing, we probably should have done it at the beginning, but I was asked to do a wrist check. So what are you wearing today? Because you have an extra watch.
I
that
do.
You stayed into, yeah, the three watch collection.
That I snuck in, yeah. This is an Oris Artelia complication. A little bit of a story behind this one. My brother actually picked it up off eBay some years ago. Still sort of made the joke with him that the guy that sold it may not be sleeping at night for the price that it ended up selling for. And when my brother was going to sell it, I said, oh, I can't let that leave the family. So I bought it off him. Got the original bracelet. As well as an Oris deployant clasp with a leather strap. It's a 21mm lug, so it's a little bit tricky to get straps and things for it, but I do like to experiment and change straps. So this one's I've only had for a couple of weeks, this strap. But yeah, this is very much an occasional piece. My wife actually wore this daily for a number of years until I picked up a watch of her own for her a few years ago after the birth of one of our children. Had it serviced not all that long ago, actually, just to sort of keep it in good nick. So, yeah.
So for a sports watch guy, you don't mind a nice dress watch?
Don't mind a nice dress watch, definitely. Yeah, there's always going to be a soft spot for a good dress watch.
And I'm wearing my Chopec Antarctic Glacier Blue
on a white rubber strap.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful piece. I've admired that many times.
Well, it was an absolute pleasure to have you here today. Thank you for sharing your three watch collection with us.
No, thank you very much for having me. Really appreciate it.
And guys, thanks for watching. And if you enjoyed this interview, make sure you check out our other content and subscribe to our channel so you don't miss out on the next three watch collection.